Welcome, fellow explorers of the miniature world. Today we're doing a deep dive into, well, the fascinating realm of common insects.
That's right. They might seem tiny, but their impact is huge, isn't it?
Absolutely massive. So our mission today for you listening is basically to give you the ultimate shortcut. We're distilling the really key stuff from a whole chapter on these incredible creatures.
Think of it like the highlight reel, getting the core ideas without wading through everything.
Exactly. And, you know, this isn't just idle curiosity, though they are fascinating.
Oh, for sure. But understanding insects, it genuinely helps us. I mean, protecting crops, making sure flowers get pollinated so we actually have food.
And maybe avoiding a few nasty bites and stings along the way.
Definitely. Whether you end up gardening, farming, maybe even becoming a scientist or just, you know, enjoying the outdoors, insects are a big part of the picture.
Yeah, they really are. So as we kind of zoom in, let's think about some of those cool questions. Like, why does a butterfly keep visiting flowers?
Mm-hmm.
Or how on earth can a tiny ant carry something way heavier than itself?
That's a classic.
And the age-old question, why do mosquitoes always seem to find you first?
Huh. If only we had a simple answer for that last one. But yeah, insects are everywhere. Under our feet, up in trees, buzzing around.
So what actually makes something an insect? How do we pin that down?
Okay, yeah. Fundamental question. There are a few core things, defining characteristics you can look for.
Like a checklist.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
First off, every single insect has this hard external covering. It's not just skin. It's rigid, made mostly of this tough stuff called chitin.
Chitin, okay.
And that forms what we call an exoskeleton. Think of it like external armor, but also its skeleton.
Ah, so it's structure and protection. That's why beetles feel so hard.
Exactly. It provides support, helps them stand up, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And crucially, it stops them from drying out.
Yeah.
A huge deal for life on land.
Right, water loss. Makes sense. What else is on the checklist?
Okay, their bodies are always, always made up of three distinct sections. The head, the thorax right behind it, and then the abdomen.
Head, thorax, abdomen. Got it.
Then on the head, they all have a pair of antenna, those feelers.
Uh-huh.
And this is a big one. All insects have six legs, no more, no less. And they're always connected to that middle section, the thorax.
Six legs attached to the thorax. Okay. Now, what about wings? I always picture insects with wings.
Ah, yeah, that's a really common thought, but it's a bit of a misconception. Some insects have wings, and if they do, yes, they're also attached to the thorax.
But not all of them?
Nope. Think about ants or silverfish.
Yeah.
Definitely insects, but totally wingless. Shows you the diversity, right?
Ah, okay.
And one more thing about that exoskeleton. Since it's hard, it can't grow. So as the insect gets bigger, it has to shed the old one and grow a new larger one underneath.
It sheds its skin.
Exactly. That whole process is called molting. It's a pretty vulnerable time for them, but absolutely essential for growth.
Wow. Okay, let's zoom in a bit on those three body parts you mentioned. The head first, tiny but packed, right?
Absolutely. It's got the brain, the eyes, the mouth parts, which can be super varied, like for chewing or sucking.
Yeah. And the antenna. You said they're like feelers.
Well, yes, but they're much more than that. They're incredibly sensitive detectors for smells, tastes, touch, even vibration. It's how they navigate, find food, find mates. Kind of doing the job our noses and hands do, but in a very different way.
Okay, so complex sensors. What about their eyes? They look so strange, those big bug eyes.
Right, those are compound eyes. They're made up of sometimes hundreds or even thousands of tiny individual lenses.
Wow. So they see the world completely differently.
Totally. They generally don't see super fine detail or things far away like we do. But what they're amazing at is detecting movement. Really, really fast movement and things up close.
Ah, so that's why it's almost impossible to swat a fly.
Exactly. Those bulging eyes give them this huge field of vision, almost 360 degrees. They can see movement coming from nearly anywhere instantly. Gives them that split second to react.
That makes perfect sense. It's motion detection. Okay, then the thorax, the middle of it.
Yep, right under the head, usually in three segments itself. And this is the powerhouse for movement. All six legs come out from the thorax.
And the legs aren't just simple sticks, right?
Oh, no. Often they have joints, kind of like knees, and their feet might have sticky pads or little hooks or even suckers so they can cling on to almost anything.
Like walking upside down on the ceiling?
Precisely. And as we said, if the insect has wings, one or two pairs, they're attached right there on the thorax, too. It's where all the locomotion mechanics are centered.
Okay. And the last part, the abdomen.
Right. Usually the largest section at the back. This holds most of the vital internal organs, the digestive system, waste removal systems, and critically, the reproductive organs.
So that's where eggs are made and laid?
Primarily, yes.
Yeah.
Most insects reproduce by laying eggs. And in some, like bees or wasps, the stinger is actually a modified part of the egg-laying structure back there in the abdomen.
Fascinating how it's all packed in. And, you know, thinking about their bodies, it blows my mind that insects are the largest group of animals on Earth. Like,
yeah.
By far.
It's staggering, isn't it? Over 80% of all known animal species are insects.
And their brains, even though they're tiny, they manage flight, finding food, escaping danger. It's incredibly efficient programming.
Absolutely.
And here's one that always gets me. Some insects can taste with their feet.
Yeah.
Like butterflies.
Yep. True story. Tasting receptors on their feet to check out if a leaf is good to lay eggs on, for instance.
Amazing. And they don't have lungs. How do they breathe?
Right. No lungs. They have tiny little holes along the sides of their body called spiracles. Air goes in through those holes and travels through a network of tubes inside.
Spiracles. Wow.
It's really incredible. So when you see butterflies' colorful wings, remember those are attached to the thorax. Mm. An ant's head is packed with sensors and strong jaws. Mm. And the abdomen is doing all the internal work, digestion, reproduction.
Even a mosquito's needle-like mouth part that's part of its head, right? Just highly adapted.
Exactly. It all fits that basic three-part plan, but with endless variations.
Okay, so we've got the basic blueprint. Exoskeleton, three body parts, six legs, antenna. But how do they go from, say, an egg to that flying adult, that whole journey?
Ah, now we get into the really amazing part, the life cycle. That's the series of changes any living thing goes through from its beginning to its adult form.
And insects have different kinds of life cycles.
They do. Some have a simpler three-stage cycle, but many, maybe the ones we think of most, have a four-stage cycle. Let's use the butterfly as our main example for that one. This complete dramatic change is called metamorphosis.
Metamorphosis, such a cool word. Sounds like magic.
It practically is. It starts with the egg. The adult female butterfly lays this tiny thing, usually very carefully placed on a specific plant, the baby will eat.
A host plant, right.
Exactly. Eggs vary a lot, but they all have a protective shell. Then stage two, the larva hatches out. For a butterfly, that's the caterpillar.
Eating machine.
Totally. Its entire existence at this stage is pretty much just eating and growing. And because it grows so much, remember that exoskeleton gets too tight?
So it has to molt again.
Yep. Multiple times. Caterpillars might molt four or five, sometimes more times, shedding that old skin as they get bigger and bigger.
Okay, so it eats, grows, molts. Then what? It can't just keep getting bigger as a caterpillar forever.
Right. Eventually, it reaches the end of its larval stage. It stops eating. And then it does this amazing thing. It sheds its skin one last time. But underneath isn't just a bigger caterpillar skin. It reveals a new form, the pupa.
The pupa, for a butterfly, that's the chrysalis.
Exactly, the chrysalis. If it were a moth, it would often spin a silken cocoon around itself for this stage. Now, the pupa might look totally still, like it's just resting.
But it's not.
Not at all. Inside, it's chaos. Well, organized chaos. The caterpillar's body is literally breaking down and rearranging itself. Organs are changing. Tissues are reforming. It's a complete biological rebuild.
Wow. Less resting, more like intense construction, like you said. And then...
The grand finale.
Mm-hmm.
Stage four.
Yeah.
The adult butterfly emerges from that pupa case. Its wings are crumpled at first. It has to pump fluid insect blood, called hemolymph, into the veins in its wings to expand them. Then they harden, and it's ready.
Ready to fly off and start the whole cycle over again.
Exactly. Find a mate, lay eggs, the cycle continues.
That really is the magic of four stages. And thinking about that, a butterfly starts as just a tiny egg. Some insects, like mosquitoes and dragonflies, they lay eggs in water.
Yep, their larval stages are aquatic, totally different environment.
And that whole dramatic change at each step, that's metamorphosis. And the baby insect, like the caterpillar, is called a larva.
Correct. Larva is the general term. Maggots are fly larva. Grubs are often beetle larva.
So it's definitely not true that all baby insects just look like tiny adults.
Not at all. That's a key misconception. So many go through these incredibly different stages. Think about it. The caterpillar is built for eating. The butterfly is built for flying and reproducing. Different jobs, different body forms. It avoids competition between the young and the adults, too.
That makes sense. So next time you actually see a caterpillar turning into a butterfly, you're watching real-life metamorphosis. Amazing.
Witnessing one of nature's coolest tricks.
Okay, so we know what they are and how they grow. Now let's get into the really interesting bit, their roles in the world. Are they friends, foes, something in between?
Huh. Yeah, it's definitely not black and white. We can sort of group them into maybe three broad categories to help us understand: social insects, useful insects, and, well, the harmful ones.
Let's start with social insects. What makes them social?
These are the ones that live together in organized groups, colonies. Think bees, wasps, termites, and especially ants and honeybees. They cooperate
Cooperate how?
for protection, finding and sharing food, doing different jobs within the group, building and maintaining a shared shelter. It's complex teamwork.
Like a little city.
Pretty much. Take ants. They often live in these elaborate underground nests, sometimes with thousands, even millions of them. They look after the young together. If one finds food, it leaves a scent trail.
A chemical trail, right.
Exactly, a pheromone trail, so others can find it easily. And honeybees, they live in hives, make honey from nectar, raise their young in wax cells. That whole practice of keeping bees is called beekeeping or apiculture.
And they have those amazing abilities too, right? Ants carrying crazy amounts of
Oh
weight.
yeah, ants can lift like 50 times their own body weight. And honeybees do that famous waggle dance to tell their hive mates exactly where to find good flowers.
A dance to give directions. Incredible. Okay, what about useful insects? The good guys.
Loads of good guys. First, we get actual products from them. Honey and beeswax from bees, obviously. Beeswax ends up in candles, soaps, cosmetics, even crayons.
And silk from silkworms.
Right. The cocoon of the silkworm larva gives us silk thread. But beyond products, their environmental roles are huge. Think pollination.
Bees, butterflies, moths.
Exactly. As they visit flowers for nectar, they accidentally move pollen around. This is essential for many plants to produce fruits and seeds. A massive amount of our food supply depends directly on these insect pollinators.
We'd be in trouble without them.
Big trouble. And some insects help us out by eating pests. Dragonflies love eating mosquitoes. Ladybugs are famous for munching aphids in gardens. Gardeners actually buy ladybugs sometimes to release them.
So they're like natural pest control.
Totally. So yeah, lots of insects are incredibly helpful. Definitely not pests themselves.
Which brings us, unfortunately, to the other side, the harmful insects.
Yeah, there are definitely ones that cause problems for us. Some are major disease carriers. Mosquitoes are the worst offenders globally. Malaria, dengue, chikungunya, serious stuff.
Cockroaches too, right? They spread germs.
They can, yeah. They can carry stuff that causes dysentery and trigger allergies or asthma. Even common houseflies can pick up germs on their feet and transfer them to our food if it's left out.
Okay, what else? Damage.
Big time. Crop and property damage.
Sure.
Caterpillars, remember? The larvae of moths and butterflies, some species can wipe out crops by eating leaves or fruit. And termites. They eat wood from the inside out, damaging furniture, buildings.
Silently destroying things.
Exactly. And then they're the ones that bite or sting or live on us. Parasites like lice and fleas feed on blood, causing irritation. And wasps and some bees, of course, can give painful stings, which can be dangerous for people with allergies.
Yikes. So how do we keep these harmful ones away? Any simple tips?
Yeah, basic prevention helps a lot. Nets or screens on windows and doors are a physical barrier. Keeping food covered is crucial. General cleanliness, getting rid of rubbish properly.
Don't give them anything to eat.
Right. And really important for mosquitoes, get rid of any standing water around your place. Empty buckets, clean gutters, that's where they breed.
No stagnant water. Makes sense.
Also, maybe avoiding walking through really dense bushes or tall grass where ticks or other biters might hang out. Sometimes pesticides are necessary, but often simple prevention works wonders.
And if you do get bitten or stung?
For minor things, often an ice pack can reduce swelling and pain. Aloe vera gel is soothing too. Obviously, if it's a severe reaction, you need proper medical help fast.
Good advice. And this all comes back to that other misconception, doesn't it? That all insects are bad.
Absolutely. It's just not true. So many are beneficial, even essential. Cleaning up waste, pollinating our food, keeping other potential pests in check. They all have a role, a job in the ecosystem.
Wow, what a trip through the insect world. We've covered what makes an insect, the exoskeleton, the three body parts, six legs, antenna.
Right, the fundamental blueprint.
Then their incredible life cycles, especially that mind-bending metamorphosis, egg, larva, pupa, adult.
That amazing transformation.
And finally, understanding their different roles, you know, the social ones working together, the super useful ones like pollinators, and yeah, the harmful ones we need to manage.
Exactly. And knowing this stuff, it's not just interesting trivia. It actually helps us understand the world around us better, how interconnected everything is.
Yeah, appreciating their job, like you said, how they fit into the grand scheme of things.
Precisely. Every little creature has its part to play.
So here's something to think about after we wrap up. What if we really did lose the bees and the butterflies? What would that world look like? Think about the ripple effects.
It's a sobering thought, isn't it?
Definitely. So we encourage you, go out and be an insect investigator. Next time you're outside, just take a closer look. See if you can spot those three body parts, watch what they're doing, an ant carrying a crumb, a bee on a flower.
You'll be amazed at the complex little lives happening all around you.
Absolutely. Keep exploring that tiny, incredible world.